I love this time of year. You know, when the weather gets cool and you can settle back in your chair with, you know what, like a good cup of coffee. Actually, I don't have coffee in here. A good cup of tea. I've discovered some new teas that are just delightful, and I've been enjoying them this week. And how about this new cup? Don't you love the color? There is something I don't like about it. It does leak a little bit. It's one thing I've noticed, but anyway. As many of you know, I've been preaching a lot about prayer recently, beginning way back August 30th. And it is my firm belief that the effectiveness of our ministry, the fruitfulness of our ministry, is determined largely by our faith in God as expressed through prayer, through the avenue of prayer. We've looked, if you've listened to some of the past messages, we've looked at several different things. Praying to our Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts, giving praise and honor and glory to Him who is above all, asking for His kingdom to come above our own kingdom, praying that His will would be done, asking for forgiveness as we forgive others, being alert and ready, praying against the temptations that the enemy brings against us, and being ready for those temptations, and asking for help when you're in trouble, and trusting and believing that He will deliver you and heal you in His power and His wisdom and His timing. Well, I believe the Lord has given us an invitation to grow deep and wide and rich and confident in prayer. And my hope and prayer for you and for me is that we would all take this invitation that God has been giving us to grow deep and what it means to go to the Lord in prayer. This morning, I'd like to focus on one last area of prayer before we move on to some other study. It's an area that Jesus highlights, and we find it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37-38. This is our primary text, Matthew 9. Jesus said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Now, we find a similar account in Luke chapter 10. Jesus identifies a problem. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but we have a problem. The workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field." So what are we talking about here? Many of you are very familiar with this passage, and your mind has probably already moved on to a conclusion of what this means. Of course, we're talking about the lost. We're talking about those who don't know Jesus all over the world. This is the harvest that Jesus is referring to here. And so He says, ask your Heavenly Father to send out workers to share the gospel, the good news, with these people so that they might believe and be saved. And you say, well, okay, I got it. I've heard this before. I've read this passage before. Let's go take a coffee break and move on to something else. But I want to spend a little bit more time on it this morning. From my observations, we still have the same problem today. I don't think it's changed. The harvest is plentiful, but it seems that the workers are few. Maybe some of you disagree with me, but in my view, both of these facts are true today. There are many who don't know Jesus, and there seem to be few who are actually sharing the gospel with them. And so the question that I have in looking at this passage is then, so obviously we're praying about this a lot, right? We're asking the Lord of the harvest very often to send workers. But yet, you know, when I look at that, as well as we've looked at other areas of prayer that the Lord has outlined for us, it seems that this is yet another area that seems to be neglected in our prayer life. We have the same problem today, but for some reason, this doesn't seem to have the priority in our prayer life that Jesus indicates that it needs to have. It seems that in all the things that we pray about, whether it's small group prayer or lunchtime prayer or bedtime prayer or church prayer, couples prayer, family prayer, you name the kind of prayer, it seems that this idea of praying for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers is not mentioned that much, at least in my experience. Maybe your experience is different. And so my question is, what can we do about this? What should we do about this? We should pray, right? It's a simple answer to that question. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. A simple thing, but you know, I've noticed a thing about prayer too that we haven't talked about much. And that is when we pray for something, prayer has a way of pulling us into that very thing that we pray about. You know what I mean? It's not just a matter of standing back from a situation and saying, okay, God, I want you to do something about this situation here, and I'm just going to watch from a distance as you do that. No, that's not what prayer is about. When you pray this kind of a prayer, I'll guarantee something, you need to get ready. Because God's going to involve you as part of the answer to that prayer. It's maybe kind of like praying for patience. You know, when you do that, be ready to have lots of opportunity to exercise patience. When we pray for things, we are submitting ourselves to God's purposes. We already touched on this somewhat when we looked at your kingdom come, your will be done. This isn't just a prayer about God reaching down and supernaturally carrying out the work of his kingdom by himself. This is about you and me aligning ourselves with what God is doing in the world and the work of his kingdom and being a part of carrying out the work of his kingdom. That's what our prayer is about when we pray that. So often I think prayer is more about changing us maybe than it is about anything else sometimes. So back to the question I raised earlier, how do we do this? How do we pray for the lost? How will this become a regular part of our prayer life? How will it become a priority? How will it happen? If it's not happening, how will it happen? And I believe there's a pretty simple answer to that. We could talk about a lot of different things, but one thing that I want to look at this morning is I think it will happen when we see the world as Jesus sees the world. When we see the world as Jesus sees the world. Let's look at these verses again. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What is the context of these words? Well, let's back up just a little bit to verse 36. It says, when, talking of Jesus, he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This is the context that Jesus asks us to pray for workers to be sent out into the harvest field. It makes more sense now, doesn't it? You know, as I read that scripture, I sense some sadness from Jesus as he looks at the vast needs of the world. He knows what they are. He knows all of them. And yet he sees few who are actually looking into those needs, few that see those needs, who recognize them, care about them, few that are working in the harvest. And I sense some sadness from Jesus in this scripture here. And so it's out of this compassion that he says to send out, to pray for workers to be sent out into the harvest field. You know, one thing I've learned as a pastor is that no one else can really motivate someone to do this. Pastors can't do it, small group leaders can't do it, even friends can't really do it. Only the master can send out his workers. We respond to the master. He's the one who speaks to us. He's the one that speaks to our heart. And I believe this morning, the master is giving each of us an opportunity to listen. To listen. Not only to pray, but to think about our own lives. How am I engaged in this process of both praying for and being involved in the work of gathering in the harvest? The way Jesus looks at the world helps us understand his instructions to his disciples. Jesus' view of the world is one of compassion. When he sees the world around him, he sees helpless and harassed people like sheep without a shepherd, and he has compassion on them. And so I'm going to keep coming back to this question for you. What do you see when you see the world? And I don't even know what that looks like for you, but when you look at the world, when you look out, whether it's at a distance or whether it's right in front of you, next door, or in your community, in your neighborhood, what do you see when you see the world? Because what you see determines a lot about what you do. What do you see? I don't know what you see. But what do you see? This passage reminds me of later in Matthew chapter 14 when Jesus hears of the beheading of John the Baptist. He doesn't go off on King Herod. He doesn't lead protests. He doesn't throw an angry tirade. But what we see in Matthew 14, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Mark talks about this story as well. And I'm just impressed that even in his time of anguish for his friend John the Baptist, Jesus attempted to get away from the crowds and they followed him. And even then, Jesus has compassion on these crowds, even in his time of grief. If you follow that story through, you know that he had a very long day that day of ministering to people from dawn until dusk, into through the night and into the next morning. It doesn't appear that they had any sleep, and he continues to minister to people. That impresses me as I see Jesus' heart of compassion. He's driven by compassion for the world. So back to my question for you and I. How do you see the world? What does it look like to you? Well, sometimes I think we see the world like this, unfortunately. Some of you know the comments have been going about the red cup from Starbucks. And, you know, the internet's in an uproar because a Christian somewhere complained that Starbucks is anti-Christian or anti-Christmas because it's just a plain red cup. I could go on and on about how wrong this is and how disturbing it is to me that these are the things that we worry about in the world. But you know, one of the things that I think is tempting for Christians is instead of approaching the world with compassion, we approach the world with condemnation. You know, condemnation instead of compassion. There are many Christians that it seems are at war with the world, always angry about something, always offended about something. And yes, I'm not making light of the fact that there are terrible things that happen in the world that are very disturbing. I don't make light of that at all. But I'm not convinced that Starbucks is one of them. I mean, other than the fact that the lid leaks a little bit, it's a bit disturbing, but, you know, and maybe the fact that it's expensive, that's $37. But I just got to say, I think they're pretty awesome. You know, when Doris stopped by to pick up this cup for me, on Friday, she stopped by a Starbucks, and the place was just packed out. And so she waited in line, let a lady go in front of her, and by the time she got up to pay for it, the lady looked at her and said, "This one's on the house because you're so nice." I think that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I like that. Like I said, there's no question as we've watched the events of even the past few days play out around the world, there are many things that are very disturbing. Much more disturbing than a red Starbucks cup. But I would challenge us this morning to follow Jesus' example. To follow Jesus' example. I think when he came into Jerusalem, the week that he was crucified, and he looked over the city, and what did he do? Did he rail about the sin of the city? No, he didn't. He wept. He looked at the city, and he wept. And you think, even as he hung on the cross, what did he say? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We look at John 3:16 a lot, but this one is so important. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. That's his objective. That's his purpose. And you know what? That's our objective. That's our purpose, that the world would be saved through him. That's what we're about here. And it's no wonder that Jesus looks at the crowds and he sees all of the vast need around him. And he's moved with compassion and he says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers out into the field because the harvest is great, but the workers are few." Compassion instead of condemnation. One of the other things that I believe Christians often fall into is that of complacency. That we don't even notice the needs that are staring us in the face. When I ask the question, "What do you see when you see the world?" I know sometimes we don't even see anything, really. In fact, it's such an obscure thing. It's out there, and we're here, and we really don't feel anything. We don't see anything. It's just going on around us without really much engagement from us. We don't see the needs that are often staring us in the face. It's a common temptation for Christians. We like comfort. We like our little group of Christian friends. We like our little church. We like our little small group. We like our little little clique in the church. And sometimes we make very little effort to reach out beyond those comfortable circles because we like comfort. And it's a constant temptation for Christians to fall into, to just fall back into that area of comfort. We've got our friends. We don't need any more friends. I'm content with those. Don't need to get to know somebody else. Don't need to, well, maybe I'll get to know them, but I'll get to know them from, like, you know, that friend that's out here, but not really bring them into my circle because I've got my circle already. And sometimes we make very little effort to reach outside that comfortable circle. I've fallen into this many times. I remember some years ago being a part of a small group that was just wonderful. We just had a great time in that group. And as we all kind of were in the same stage of life and related to what was going on, we shared with one another. But you know, it became too comfortable. And it just kind of stayed that group. Like there wasn't people coming in. And I don't know if we said that people weren't invited, but you know how those groups are kind of. When you're on the outside, they're kind of hard to get in. It was a wonderful group, but it was a problem. It was a temptation that we fell into. To just be comfortable. And comfort often just leads to complacency. If we look at this passage, and Jesus looking at these crowds, and how did he know what was going on with these people? Why did he have compassion? We look at verse 35. Sorry. There we are. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus saw what the people were like because Jesus was there. He was there. He immersed himself in the crowds. He gave himself every opportunity to know their needs. He was there. It wasn't news from afar. It wasn't someone else's story. It was people that he was coming in contact with. He knew them. He felt their pain. He knew their anger. He saw their lostness. And he had compassion on them. He was there. And immediately following this, we have the call to pray for workers. And right after the call to pray for workers, what does he do? He sends out the 12. He sends them out. Not just one of them, not just two of them, not just the ones with the gift of evangelism or whatever. He sends them all out to do the same thing that he's doing, the same thing. And that's true for us as well. When he asks for us to pray this prayer, he's not only asking for us to pray this so that other people will be involved in the harvest, he's asking us to pray this so that we as well, as we're praying, will be involved in the work of the harvest. If we're going to pray for the lost, we will need to be shaken out of our complacency. We will need to be willing to go where Jesus went so that we can see what Jesus sees. I want to close this morning with a video that I'll tie in here after we watch this. If you'd watch with me here. I spent quite a bit of time at that hospital, and I did experience some nurses and doctors who noticed really what was going on. Not just the physical symptoms, but noticed really as a person. You know, as I watched that, I guess it's my dream for the church. Those kind of people. A church filled with those kind of people. Who see. Who really, really see and respond. I think that's what Jesus is only asking here. He's just asking us to see. And to be in a position where we can see. Wherever that takes you. And that could be just next door. It could be right here this morning. There are people here, I believe, probably who don't know Jesus. And so maybe it's a matter of just not being in such a hurry to walk out the door onto your next thing, but to just take a moment and see that person. It could be across the other side of the world. It could be in your school. It could be in a coffee shop or a homeless shelter or even a bar or wherever. We could name many different things, even the checkout line in Walmart. Or it could be in France or Spain or South America, Thailand, Syria. Are you putting yourself in a position to see? As we see this short little clip of Jesus' life, I think we see a very important progression. We see him going from town to town, to place, wherever God was calling him. And he saw the people, and he had compassion, and he cared about the harvest, and he said, let's pray about that. This past week, as I was running my regular running route, which takes me past the high school, I was running past the front of the high school, and I saw this vehicle turn in. It's a Madison County ride vehicle, which, if those of you know what those are, they're vehicles that you can get a free ride, transportation, if you don't have transportation in this county, to various places. And I wondered, why is a Madison County ride vehicle coming to the school? It seemed kind of odd to me. And as I ran past the entrance, it pulled up to the curb there, and a young teenage boy got out. And our eyes met for just a moment, and I had to wonder, why are they bringing him to the school? And I wondered, what's going on with his life? Where are his parents? Maybe he had a doctor's appointment. I don't know. But it just made me sad to think, if he had a doctor's appointment, this was the only ride that he could get. I don't know. But there was just a moment where I looked at him, and I wondered... if this is maybe how Jesus was feeling at the time when he looked at the crowds with compassion and he said, we need to pray. We need to pray. I don't know. But as I think of this message, I think of the words in Isaiah chapter 6, the words of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I hope that each of us, in our own way, our own place, our own calling, can answer that and say, as Isaiah did, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Send me wherever it is you want to send me, even if it's just next door, even if it's just in my local high school, in this community. But here I am, send me. The harvest is all around us. And I believe Jesus wants us to open our eyes and to see it and to embrace our calling to carry out the work that he's given us to carry out, the same work that he did when he was here and walked this earth himself. Hearts of compassion for the lost. As I look at the front here, I see all of these shoeboxes that have been put together. And I have to think, what's behind the story of the shoeboxes? Why there's 200 some boxes here? Somebody went to a lot of work to gather all the things that went in there to put the boxes together, to fill the boxes. What is it that motivates people to do that kind of work? And I don't know exactly, but I think part of it is that compassion for the world, to look at the world and in some small way make a difference. And I've had the opportunity to see videos of kids on the other side who receive those shoeboxes. I've had relatives on the other side receiving them in the field, and to see the impact of a simple gift, it opens the door to share the gospel with a child, with a family. So my call this morning is simply for us to have compassion and to put ourselves in places where we can see the world as Jesus sees the world. And to pray. And so I ask that you would pray with me this morning. We're going to pray some of this during our sharing time. To ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. It makes me think of a couple verses where Paul asked. He asked for the church to pray for him. He says, pray also for me in Ephesians chapter 6, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the harvest.